Praise the Lord. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we are going to read from verse 1. One of the favorite messages I love preaching, about relationships and human behavior, why we do what we do, and why we behave the way we behave. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I call this message Hate Management Program. The Hate Management Program. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, the English Standard Version, when Reverend Steve was in our church recently, my media people kept putting ESV, and he told them, where's King James? I want King James. Because they thought that because I like ESV, everybody likes ESV. So they kept giving me ESV and saying, no, give me King James. Give me King James. So you give me ESV today here. Hallelujah. Says, this know also, I'm the English Standard Version, but understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, people will be proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. It says, in the last days there will be difficult times. But you notice, after he had said there will be difficult times, Apostle Paul went on to list what he called difficult times. And you notice that the difficult times he's talking about is not times of economic difficulty, but rather times of relational difficulty. Can I have an amen here? Difficulty in human beings behaving as humans. That's the biggest challenge we have in our world today. Human beings behaving as humans. And the picture we have in this scripture is a picture of what I call the emotional habits that govern lives, as it were, in the last days. The emotional habits. A picture of how people behave today. That's what we have in 2 Timothy chapter 3, how people will behave. And certainly with such behaviors, it's going to create a lot of fragmented relationship, broken relationship, strained relationship. When people are reckless and treacherous and ungrateful, it's going to create a lot of difficulty in relationships. If I want to look at this scripture, it's like a movie depicting emotional deficits. A movie showing the emotional inefficiency, emotional deformities in the life of people. Desperation, recklessness in our communities, our families, and our lives. So when the question is put, why will human beings behave inhuman? When the question is put, why will human beings behave like the way they behave in the last days? Many will say, it's because the world is coming to an end. If you ask this baby, I understand. That's what they will say. But I don't hold on to that reason alone as to why people behave the way they behave today. See, one of the key features of being human is what I call an active emotional center. What's the emotional center? An active emotional center has to do with people who have what we call basic trust. Now, if you ever study education in any institution, one of the things they teach people who will be teachers is that kids are groomed to have basic trust in life. They have capacity to love, to receive love, capacity to forgive, and then receive forgiveness. That's basic trust. Capacity to trust people. Now, when you look at the scripture we just read, you notice that it's going to be difficult to trust people with this kind of behavior, characters all around. And when this thing happens, I consider that as an inactive or dilapidated emotional center. One of the things that makes us human is an active emotional center where you receive love, you love, you're able to forgive and receive forgiveness. That's an active emotional center. Amen. So when we talk about emotions, I want to spend a little time talking about emotions. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, May God satisfy you wholly, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless till the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in that scripture, we see, notice man in three parts. Man is a spirit, man has a soul, man lives in a body. Now, with our spirit, we contact the spirit world, whether the satanic world or God's spirit world. With our spirit, that's where we contact. With our bodies, we contact the physical world. Like today, we are here in our body form. The question that comes is, what about the soul? What about the soul? Where is the soul? What makes me a living person with a soul? Now, studies have proven that a man's soul is made up of three compartments: the mind, the will, and the emotions. The mind, the will, and the emotion. The mind is what I call intellectual capital. We are made up of intellectual capital. When you go to school, you read books, your mind is developed. It's a place of knowing. The soul, the place of knowing. And then the will is a volitional capital. That's where we have the capacity to choose what to do, what not to do. God gave man free will. It's in our soul. Whenever we make a choice, it's our soul acting. Whenever we put our mind to study, it's our soul acting. And then we have the emotions, what we call the place of feeling. Don't say the place of feeling. I didn't hear you. That's our emotions. We all have emotions. That's where we laugh, we cry, we get annoyed, we get angry, we have bitterness, we have bad feelings, insecurity. They are all emotional fruits, emotions. Now, what we have not really given attention to is the fact that our emotions is what makes us human. Our emotions, the state of our emotion, the emotional state, is what makes you human. Gives you the capacity to be able to relate to people. So our soul is the place where we develop the capacity to relate to people. Now you will agree that as we grow, we meet a lot of people. Some people are difficult to relate to. People are difficult to relate to. People are insecure, bitter, filled with fear, anger, so many negative traits that we have to deal with every day in life, in the workplace, in the church, at home. Amen. One very popular musician in the country, a lady, we're having a chat about his marriage that had gotten divorced. He said, my husband will beat me in the bedroom, drag me to the living room. And according to her, I mean, a very respected lady, he says, I thought it was normal for your husband to beat you. That's what she told me. So when the husband beats her, so that's good. The marriage is working. One lady also said that when I have a problem with my husband and then they settle our case, our marriage gets revived. So I like that. So we'll have a problem so that they will come and solve our problem every day. Different emotional behaviors. Amen. Now, our capacity to relate, what I call relational skills grows in the domestic environment we are raising. That's how our emotional skills are shaped. Our behavior is shaped in the domestic environment we grow up in, where mommy and daddy were there. That's how our emotions grow. See, in the home where the domestic environment is good, what is fed our emotion is called affection. Somebody say affection. Affection is acceptance, attention, correction. I mean, what parents are supposed to do to make our kids grow into very good human beings. That's affection. Affection is what I call a vitamin that we receive in the domestic environment we are raised in. Now, when you are raised in an environment where you have what I call non-functional parents, you grow up and you have some deficiencies in your capacity to relate. Now, what do I mean by non-functional parents? A non-functional parent is a parent who can buy every good thing for the child, but it's not there for the child. It's like an absentee farmer. It's a farmer, but it's absent. I was preaching this way in one church, and one elderly man came to me. He says, "Bishop, I now understand why my son behaved the way he behaves towards me." I said, "Why?" He said, "My son doesn't want to see me. I've spent all my life working for them, took them to school in America. When I go there, my son is not excited that I'm there. And after your preaching, I noticed where I went wrong." He was on retirement then, and he wanted his son. His son didn't want him. He says, "Bishop, when I was working in the corporate world, I spent all my time for my work. I was in Ghana, London, Nigeria. I spent all my time. I spent very little time with my children. And now I'm on retirement. I want my son. My son doesn't want me." Because he was a non-functional parent. Amen? Parents who are not there to supply the affection that builds the capacity of the children to be loving and be relating with people. I was counseling a couple. Maybe I'm going to need a puppet here because I love to calm down. When I calm down, I won't be able to climb up again. I'm copying Reverend Steve. When it comes to Cape Coast, that's what he does. Introduce him on the puppet, he'll calm down. So everything you are doing, I'm going to do here. All right, so help me calm down. Get my... All right, thank you. I was counseling this couple. They were getting ready for marriage. And in the course of the counseling, I noticed that the girl has suffered absence of her mother for so many years. The mother has not been with them for so many years. So with my experience, I knew that she will be emotionally deficient. She will act some way. So the last 2 weeks before their marriage, I had time with the young man alone. I said, "Young man, because of what I've heard over the counseling time, this is what your wife will be doing. She'll be doing this, she'll be doing this. And when she does it, oh, don't be surprised because of the way she has been raised." As I was saying, the young man's eyes got wild. I said, "Why? Why are you looking at my..." He said, "Daddy, everything you are saying, she has started doing it." When I receive text messages from my co-workers who are female, she'll reply and insult them. She will call and insult. What is happening here? She had suffered the absence of her mother for years. The abandonment. So what has been created is insecurity. The fear that I'll always be abandoned. See, she was not born insecure. She had become insecure because of the domestic environment she had been raising. Are you listening to me, Kevin? So people come from a certain domestic environment and they will show all kinds of behavior. Some are filled with fear. Some are always worried. Some are always bitter. I mean, angry without cause. Some people too are very loving. They can forgive. They can easily flow with everybody because they had a very good parental upbringing that has made them more secure in life. So this girl has become insecure. She was not born insecure. Amen. When it comes to why people are become people with disability, Reverend Steve has a lot of compassion for people with disability. physical deformities come through so many factors. On the Friday of the crusade, I mean, people who were deformed that we saw, crawling on the grounds. I mean, you cry. You cry. The question you ask yourself, did God form them deformed? Now, Psalm 139 says that God forms us, our inner parts, in our mother's womb. God never created an imperfect human being. But a human being can become deformed because of several factors. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Several factors. For example, I have a young man in my church growing up, he's not of age. He has one hand deformed. What happened? During the childbirth, his birth, the doctors told a mother that we have to remove the baby. We have to do CS. The mother said, no, the prophet told me that if I do CS, I'll die. So she wouldn't do it. So the doctors, out of compassion, pulled the baby. So in pulling the baby, the hand that the doctors held had become deformed after this boy grows up. Now, if the mother had allowed the CS, she would not have been deformed. He became deformed because of factors concerning his child, his birth. He became deformed. Like Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was not born a cripple. Amen? Was not born a cripple. But when the woman heard of the death of the father was run away with Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth fell and became crippled. Amen. The lady I'm talking about became insecure. You see, and when people behave with all kinds of behavior, we have put them in a certain bracket we call temperament. This man is choleric, this is sanguine, this is, and they're all the positive and negative things. That's what I mean, I'm sanguine. If you don't have a talk, whatever you do, I'll talk. People say that. Now, the negative traits in what we call temperaments is not something we are born with. Amen? You are not born to be always annoyed. You are not born created to be bitter, to be unforgiving. No, it's not so. Something happened in process of time that has made you become what you have become. Amen? See, temperament is not destiny. Don't classify yourself in that bracket and say, as for me, I am choleric and I have negative traits and positive traits. Now, all these negative traits, something you have become because of something you didn't receive when you were being formed as a child. Am I talking? Amen. So over the years, I've looked at how people behave, and when you sit there and analyze it, what we call diagnosis, you notice that most of them behave the way they behave because either daddy was not there, or mommy was not there, or something was done to them, somebody raped them, somebody abused them. I had one lady in my church so many years ago. She was a chorister. She will fight everybody in the choir. Only be Ankasa. Only be Ankasa or choir. I'm the only person you could relate with in the church. I'm telling the truth, mommy. She come home sometimes, she won't even greet mommy. Let's go to the kitchen. Now, after years of getting to know her, I noticed that when she was growing up, she grew up with her auntie. The auntie's kids went to school, she didn't go to school. The auntie and his children slept in the bedroom, she slept in the kitchen. So you can understand why she had grown up with a chip on her shoulder. You know what I'm saying? So people, her father who born her, she wouldn't even look at the face of her father. He had to travel abroad. One day I met her father in town. I said, so what's the name? Obanet Enenka. Her father was asking me, also Obanet Enenka. He has no relationship with the father. See, the environment you grow up in sometimes shapes your behavior. The reason why in the last days people are going to be treacherous, ungrateful, is because in the last days we become so work-oriented, material-oriented that we don't have time for the home. In the last days, today, It's a work-oriented culture. Work. Those of you who live in Accra, I sympathize with you. I like my Cape Coast. Last week I was in Accra, I preached in the church in Kwabena. We had to have lunch with one of my sons at Oak Plaza. And it took us 1 hour from Kwabena to Oak Plaza. I said, man, that's why I don't like Accra. Well, you guys are blessed. But the thing I noticed about some of you, especially those of you who work in the corporate world, you have little time with your family. Sometimes the only time you spend with your kids is the morning hours when you are dropping them in school. By the time you come home, they are asleep. Am I talking? They are asleep. Saturdays, all kinds of activities, funeral, weddings, naming ceremonies, start there. Especially if you are a leader in the church. Sunday too, we have come here. But thank God that you have double service so you can close early and go. When you close, go home. Tell somebody when you close, go home. Or take your family out. Go see somewhere, eat. Because I noticed here in Accra, people come to church and right from church they go to office. Office. Very little time with the kids. So the kids don't receive the affection they need to build up their relational capacity. That's why in the last days, says people will be this. God, we don't give attention to building relational skills. Okay. Can I mean, amen here?
Amen.
I grew up with my daddy. My dad and my mom divorced when I was 13 years old. So I spent all my time with my dad. My dad was not a conversationalist. He was a very caring father. No doubt, caring father. But he won't have time to sit down with you and then chat. Oh, how are you doing, Kwabena? What's happening? Hey, school. My dad didn't go to school, so he didn't understand schooling. Never look at my report. Amen? There was no rapport between me and my daddy, who I grew up with. So when I married my sweetheart in 1985. One day I came, I also spent all my life as, you see, I was chatty outside, damp inside. That's how he described me. When I'm with her, we can't talk. I didn't know how to do it. All the talk is like, when people come home, hey, poppy. When they go, the home was quiet. So one day I came back home from work, and I came, she was in bed. We were preaching somewhere, early days of our marriage. And there was Doomso. Doomso started in the 80s. When I came home, there was Doomso. So when I came, young lady, 26 years old at that time, 26, she was lying in bed, crying. Today, when I say it's a boy. She was crying. You don't love me. You don't spend time with me. And I stood accused. It's true. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't, sometimes some of you complain about your husband. I didn't get it too. So conversation was not my style. Now I'm good. Now I think I'm 60% good. When I say, she says, you are good. I was like, I still love to be alone. See, emotional wiring starts in the home. Where you are wired. I got that word from one man. He written a book on emotional intelligence. It's called emotional wiring. According to him, girls get proper emotional wiring than boys. Which I notice is true. When I come home, my daughter will come and hug me, sit on me, lie by my bed. Every attention. My boy, once he gets his phone, he doesn't care about anybody, anything in the house. Once he has his phone, he doesn't care about anybody in the house, right? You don't even think he's in the house. But a girl will come around, be touching you, be hugging, sitting on you. Daddy, how was work? Daddy, was and she come and lie in bed. Me and my wife are lying in bed. She'll come and lie by our side. Come and lie by our side. So she's been emotionally wired. And so girls get better emotionally wired than boys in most cases. Because the boys, girls would like to touch, they would like to hug, they would like to talk. I mean, whenever I'm eating, she's sitting by my side. So when my mommy serves food, mommy says, she said, call Kukua, daddy is eating. And she comes and says, once I told her, you are disturbing me, I said, daddy, I'll go to school very soon. He's in level 400, you know, medicine. She said, I'll go to school, you'll miss me, oh. And it's true. It's true, once you go to school, I'm eating, I feel so lonely. Where is Kukua? Kukua should have been here so that when I'm eating, because her mommy has been used to my silenced life. She has been used exam in Ben Kasa. But as a cuckoo has wired Kasa. Hallelujah. Emotional wiring starts at home. Fathers and mothers, listen to me. You have a crucial role to play in how your son or your daughter is going to behave tomorrow. How they are going to behave tomorrow. As wives and husbands. Whether they are going to abuse their wives or abuse their husbands, it boils down to how we nurture them today. The young man, when I told him about this, my wife, and he told me, Daddy, everything you say, she's so insecure. What should I do? I said, well, it's like in medicine. When doctor notices that you have a deficiency in a vitamin, they'll give you strong doses, strong B complex. So I told her, all she needs is an assurance that you love her. In spite of who she is, what she'll be doing, just assure her that she's safe in your hands. Once she knows she's safe, she will not be suspicious of you when you are moving with another woman or you are talking to another girl. I mean, she'll not be suspicious. I've been married for 39 years. I'm very fortunate. Very fortunate. We've been in ministry for 37 years. My girlfriend here has never complained about my relationship with any girl in the church. Never. I'm not joking. Never. Never. Now, honey, I don't like this girl who has been coming around. Be careful with her. And sometimes some of the girls who come around might be all kinds of ulterior motives, you know. But she's never complained. Why? She was the typical daddy's girl. Daddy's girl, very typical daddy's girl, an average family, but so close to her father. So she was properly wired. She feels secure no matter who comes around, because the wiring. I mean, sometimes we behave and we don't understand the way we behave that we behave. I'm telling you why you behave the way you behave sometimes. And that's not your fault. It's not that you're a bad person, no. But the way you were nurtured has formed you to a certain way of behavior. And sometimes the way of behavior could be positive or could be negative. Can somebody say a big amen here? Amen. So most people have grown up in homes where there is little affection, little attention, acceptance, recognition from your parents. So people have grown up and they suffer a deficiency that I've classified acquired affection deficiency syndrome. Like AIDS is acquired immune deficiency. When you have AIDS, it means your deficiency is weak. Some of the behavior shows that we have weak affection built up in our system. So most people working are suffering from acquired affection deficiency syndrome. A 1 year girl broke up a relationship with a young man in my church so many years ago. And I wasn't surprised. In fact, that young man went ahead to get married to another lady, but he's broken up again. He never knew his father. As far as I know, he never knew his father. And so some of them, when they get a spiritual fathers, they hook onto us. Never knew his father. Once he took a toddler, went to a mom, said, Mom, who is my father? Show me who my father is. So he has grown up with that rejection syndrome. So the girlfriend he was going out with, that girlfriend was not safe. He will beat her, drag her. But only anyone has been anything. Up a chapel also. Every Sunday is in church. Every Sunday is in church. So when the girl told me what has been happening and why he had to get out of the relationship, I said, no wonder your husband has suffered a deficiency and he has grown up so insecure in life and will do anything. Sometimes they will even kill. So people have grown up with very little affection and he's grown up with all kinds of syndromes and behaviors. Can I have an amen here? Amen. Very negative emotional capital. Dangerous to live with. That's why it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, in the last days, there will come difficult times. People will be like this. But the Amplified says something. Amplified, the same 2 Timothy chapter 3. Amplified says, for people will be lovers of self, utterly self-centered. Lovers of money, aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth, they will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents. The bottom line effect is that many people today have what I call poor relational disposition. And that's the difficulty in today's world. Not the economic difficulty alone. You can't trust your next door neighbor. You can't trust people living under your roof. One pastor saw me and said, Daddy, this house has destroyed my son. I said, what happened? So when I'm not at home, my son was then, is it 13 or so? This house teaches my son about sex. 13-year-old boy, and has sex with my son in my absence. A pastor, she was telling me this. Now, why would somebody do like that? Why would Hassab do like that? People have grown up with all kinds of behaviors because if you go to their history, you will notice that they had no home. They had no home. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I'll be closing very soon. Actually, let me know my time. I didn't look at my time when I was preaching, so let me just know my time. Can somebody say a big amen? Amen. My assignment here is to help you know who you are emotionally, your emotional state, and help you to seek a transformation. Amen? Amen. Which is possible. You must be able to assess yourself. Am I in the positive class or negative class? Let me read this to you quickly. Those in the positive dynamic emotions are people who are sensitive, caring, more concerned and considerate, better at resolving conflict, negotiating disagreement, better frustration management, better at handling stress, more sharing, cooperative and helpful, more democratic in dealing with others, in contrast to tyranny at home and in the office. People who are in a negative category, negative emotional, what I call negative emotional tendencies, anger, apathy, stress, anxiety, hostile, insecure, inferiority complex, bitterness, hatred. So you must be able to assess your emotional strength and tell yourself, no, I think I have a problem. When this woman told me I don't converse with her, I noticed I had a problem. The first, your way out of this emotional negative behavior is for you to acknowledge that I have a problem. I have a problem. That's what they call confront your ego. I have a problem. I have a weakness. I don't know how to converse. I have to learn how to converse. I have to learn it all. So next time, anytime she's speaking, I say, yes. Sometimes she repeats what all that she has told me. You know, women like doing that sometimes. They'll tell you again and again. When she comes up, I behave as if I've not heard it before. Ah, hey, the man. Ah, care. Just to make sure that I learn how to converse. Woman must talk. I was reading a book. I don't know whether it's true. It said, the book said that a woman must speak 7,000 words every day. I don't know whether it's true. Women, they must talk. And the book says the man must speak 2,000 words every day. So a man who speaks 4,000 words every day is becoming feminine. And a woman who's always quiet says it's abnormal. A woman must be quiet all the time. Women, they should talk. So a woman who's always quiet at home, there's something wrong. Something went wrong somewhere, and that's why they don't like talking. Amen. So once she confronted me with my weakness, I accepted it. For me, that's where you go to the cross. Why you die at the cross, say, I have a problem. When David called Mephibosheth to help him get over his weakness, Mephibosheth said, I'm a dog. David said, yeah, you are a dog, but you're going to be affirmed. Amen. Mephibosheth said, I'm a dog. What can you do with me, a dog? So you have to go to the cross first and acknowledge that I have a problem. Stop giving excuses for your problem. You have a problem, daddy. You have a problem, mommy. And don't give a certain excuse about you. You don't trust people. Me, human beings are very dangerous. I can't trust. No. You have a problem. You have no basic trust. And you missed it because parenting somewhere was dysfunctional for you. Dysfunctional. So you missed it. So you go to the cross and accept that I have a problem. Bible says all the handwriting that was against us, Jesus took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. So at the cross, you confront your ego. And then you start the process of transformation. Transformation is, Bible says, according to Romans chapter 12, says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, when you have been hurt and abused and misused for over a period of time, you come to a place where you have a certain mindset about how human beings are. Amen? Been abused, misused, maltreated, falsely accused, like Joseph. You can come to a point where you have a certain mindset about life. People won't do me well. People will mistreat me. People will abuse me. It's a kind of mindset. It can be a very strong mindset. That makes you very negative to live with. Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind is that you come to a place where you stop counting your heads and courting your head. This is how we have caution. You work with somebody. Some people court their heads. Anybody you meet, you talk about what your husband did to you. Anybody you meet, about what your old boyfriend did to you. I mean, this relationship ended 15 years ago. You're still talking about it. And the man who did that, he has moved on in life. And sometimes you are praying that he will die, but he's doing very well. He's doing very well in life. So you become a victim. Amen? Become a victim. I mean, whoever did what to you, they have moved on with their life. Maybe they saw things out with God. Like David taking somebody's wife and killing him. I mean, people say, David, you are born. I don't go to David's church. Took somebody's wife. But God still affirmed David. You go to Israel, they know more about David than Jesus. Still affirmed and loved. Because David had moved on with his life. David knew relationship. He had sought things out with God. And Ahithophel, he was still bitter. Ahithophel was still bitter. Because Ahithophel's granddaughter was Bathsheba. So Ahithophel saw David as bringing shame on their family. So he became bitter against David. And when Absalom decided to overthrow his father, he easily could get Ahithophel to join him because Ahithophel was bitter against David. You see, when you are bitter, you can become suicidal. When you are bitter, you become suicidal. And that's what happened to Ahithophel. Because when you are bitter, the moment you are rejected, a block setting. People are bad. People are. So be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Stop counting and courting your losses. I mean, Joseph could have spent his life bitter. Joseph could have spent all his life bitter. I mean, rejected by his brothers, maltreated by his boss's wife, lied on him, was in jail. I mean, Joseph could have spent all the time in jail. Oh, the world is bad. People, human beings are. But Joseph was able to move on with his life in spite of what was done to him. See, you get hurt and you get emotionally deformed because of what is done to you. And people will do you bad. So stop counting, courting, and rehearsing your losses. That's the second point of transformation. Stop talking about the relationship. This relationship ended 10 years ago. Stop talking about it. Yes, he has a child with me. Doesn't care of the child. Doesn't take care of the child. Stop talking about it. You must be able to move on with your life. And for me, the third phase of transformation is the church. Someone say the church. Some people have never been hugged before all their life. Somebody have been saying, you are looking good. Like, you know, pastor will say, tell somebody you are doing this. Some people have never experienced it before. The church ought to be a transformational center to help shape people's behavior and relationship. People should come here and learn about relationship. They should come to a church where there are blocks and clubs and cliques. And they have set certain standards who belong to that club or clique. If you come here in emotional wheelchair, you can't join our club. If you come here in emotional crutches, you can't join our club because you are strange. You don't have the money we have. It ought not to be so in a local church. A local church ought to be a transformation center where everyone is accepted in the beloved. Everyone, no matter their background. Because sometimes their behavior is because it's rooted in their background. So they come to church and they are strange. Yes, they are strange. A lot of strange people. And you want to say, strange. One be one no good thing. One be okay. I'm no good thing. And some people say he's like too emotional. You put them in a box. You're emotional. Actually, a box, you know. Now, the padlock. Actually, no. Now you have to keep now. Actually, you are locking or you're emotional. So everybody in the church, you know that you are sensitive, overly sensitive, you are critical, everybody, you are classified. It's sad when you are not properly built up at home and you come to the church and you also classify. The church ought to be a transformational center, a place for renewal, a place where people can be transformed, even though they must have come from a bad, terrible background. Hallelujah. All in all, it boils down to you acknowledging where you have a problem. That's how it starts from. Acknowledge my weakness, acknowledge your insufficiency, and seek God for help. John Weinberg says in his book, Power Healing, about a lady who came to him for healing. That's going to be my last segment I'm going to make. This lady was suffering from arthritis, and all her fingers were stiff. So John Weinberg said when he laid hands upon the lady, then the Holy Ghost told him, this girl is suffering because she's bitter against her sister. So John Weinberg addressed her, said, you are bitter against your sister. Oh, I know how many things she's from. No, she didn't want to hear her sister. Do you know what happened? According to John Weinberg in his book, Power Healing. 20 years prior to that encounter, he had a boyfriend whom he used to bring home. And the sister snatched the boyfriend from her. And they got married, and after 2 years, they divorced. That was her hurt. You snatch what I want, and then you throw it away. So for 20 years, he has never spoken to the sister for 20 years. So when she went to John Weinberg, said, you have to deal with it. She thought about it. She said, well, I'm suffering. I'm almost free. Those days, you have to write, you know, today where you can send a text. She wrote a letter to her sister, asking her sister to forgive her for also being bitter against him. And she went to the mailbox. And then, according to Jomamba, the moment she mailed the letter to her sister, right there at the post office, the arthritis left her body. At the post office. That is well with scripture. Bible says a broken spirit dries the bones. Her bones have become dry because of bitterness. So one of the major keys for transformation is that sometimes people who hurt us, we hold it against them. We're not willing to forgive them. And sometimes that's why we suffer. Amen. The moment she released her sister, she got healed. Amen. She got healed. A lady was bitten by a dog and she suffered rabies, a lady. And then, according to the doctor, she started writing names on the hospital bed. So the doctor said, are you writing a will because you are going to die? I'm writing a will. No, I'm writing the names of all those I'm going to bite. Because he has suffered rabies, you know. They had told him that he's going to die. So he took a pen and paper in the hospital and they started writing something. The doctor said, are you writing a will or what? No, I'm writing the names of all those I'm going to bite. You're also going to get rabies. If you release, you'll be free. Some of the things you are suffering is because of bitterness, unforgiveness from what people have done to you, and it has shaped your emotion, your behavior over time. You can be transformed. Now, see, transformation doesn't mean that the things won't be there. Like Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was transformed. He was not eating at the king's table, but he was still crippled. See, transformation is that maybe the broken part will not be healed, but you don't allow the broken part to become a hindrance to your life. It doesn't control you again. The pain doesn't control you again. What was done to you doesn't control you again. So even though it's broken, it doesn't control you again. That's where the healing comes again. You want to be on your feet, everybody? Let's be on your feet. I want us to get clinical. Mind juice. Thank you. This is mind juice. Can I drink it? Yes. Do you give me permission to drink it?
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes what you are going through is because of the formation that took place because of the home you were raising. Some of you, I had one lady in my church, so insecure. So insecure. When I preach a message like this, after service, say, Daddy, everything you preach is new. Daddy, I'm insecure. I'm afraid. My boyfriend will leave me. I'm afraid. Yeah, God married recently. Why? Because at the point when she was growing up, her daddy had to run away from Rawlings. So her daddy was out of the country for 10 years. So she missed her daddy for a period. That is, if you know how important your presence is to your children, you will not be joking with your presence. Daddy, your presence. Time with the kids. 10 years, no daddy. So she has grown up feeling abandoned. Beautiful lady. Has a wonderful chemistry of relationship. Beautiful lady. But absence of daddy for 10 years has deformed her relational capacity. She's become emotionally deformed. And she accepted this. Daddy, you have a problem. Daddy, help me. I gave her a book, Healing Your Insecurities, by one man, Ron Hicks. So healing your insecurities, you can be healed. This morning, I want you to lift up your hands. Just a short time, Lord. Let's get clinical. Let's get clinical. Somebody in your life whose memory always causes you pain. Whenever you remember what they did, what they said, it causes you pain. You become a victim. The way out is to forgive and release them. Release them. It's your dad. Your dad is dead, all right, but you still have the pain. Your mom might be dead. Or your brother or sister who did that to you is dead, but you still have the pain. Transformation starts when you are willing to forgive them, release them. Mention their name and say, I forgive Akosua. I forgive Adura. I forgive Kwame. I release them. I refuse to be a victim of what they did to me. Release them right now. Release them. Release them right now. And ask God to forgive you for all the bitterness and the pain that you allowed into your life. Ask God to forgive you. And tell yourself that I refuse to be a victim. I refuse to be a victim. I'm going to be a better person to live with from today.
In the name of Jesus. Father, the grace to release.
Listen, emotional healing is not instant. It's a process. It takes time. Time. Keep on forgiving. Every day the memory will come again. Say, I forgive them. I forgive them. Give yourself time to get whole and heal. Give your spouse time to get healed. Your spouse has maybe some negative trend. Give her time. Give her time. Give your husband time. Once he's heard this message, some of them will fight. As I'm preaching, some people are fighting it. Bishop, Bishop, give him time. Give him time. And I pray that the Holy Ghost will come upon you this morning.
In the name of Jesus.
Pour oil and wine into your womb.
Yes, Lord.
Holy Spirit will pour oil and wine into your womb.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes,
receive
Lord.
The ministry of the Holy Ghost.
In the name of
receive
Jesus.
His ministry. Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Receive his ministry. Let him pour oil and wine into your womb. The process of healing has begun. The process of healing has begun. The process of transformation has begun for you. Receive your healing.
In the name of Jesus.
Receive your healing.
Heal us, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, receive your healing. Be made whole. Be made every bit whole. In Jesus' name, be made whole. In the name of Jesus, be made whole.
Receive wholeness.
Thank you, Father.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.